Welcome back to X Squared Radio, coming to you live from east of the Appalachians. I want to let you know that Remembering the Future is going to be up for sale. The ebook next week, next Sunday, will have a special for you. The price will be $7.95. It's a 220-page book that has the toolkit you need. So be the first to read it by listening to next week's program. There was a short 55-page preview of this in Volume 3 of The Ark of Millions of Years. Now you can get the full story in your hands. Believe me, the discoveries in this book will shake the pillars and throw open the windows, so don't miss this opportunity. Now, the printed version will be out in 3 months. There'll be a special that goes along with the ebook that will allow you to pick that up for a good discount, but you can get a head start. So stay tuned. Also, Twitter. Don't forget to follow Brooks Agnew on Twitter. Things are happening so fast now with the Expedition and the Electric Car Company and the conferences coming up that you can't wait until next Sunday to hear about them. You got to keep up. So get them as fast as they happen by following me on Twitter. All you have to do is put in Brooks Agnew. It'll find me, no problem. And you can follow, and I will several times a day send out notices of what's going on, and you can keep up with the pace. Plus, there will be some very special savings and offers on upcoming books and movies. We'll give away some free archive subscriptions, so don't miss out. And please spread the word. It's free and spam-free guaranteed, okay? Spam-free guaranteed. Twitter, Brooks Agnew. My guest tonight is one of the explorers into language and the root relationships of humankind. He spent 4 years in China teaching English to Chinese students. Welcome back, Kevin David. How are you?
Hi.
I know we didn't lose you over one song, but we're trying to keep pace
okay.
here.
Okay, I love music. Part of my movie project is working on music.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your movie project coming up.
Oh, this is something I started many years ago. It started with an ancient language, believe it or not, probably about 15 years ago. I started to do some self-discovery, the direction where I needed to go in life, or what I was directed to do, I guess. And I started talking to some friends and started reading some, you know, it has to do with synchronicity, and we all know what that is, okay? You know, being in a certain place, meeting certain people, doing certain things, for a reason, whether it be good or bad or whatever. There's a reason why we're here. There's a reason why I'm on the show tonight after, you know, so many years of investigating. But the movie project developed or evolved from when I was just doing meditation and just coming to the point where I had a trust, you know, not so much in, you know, or in myself, but also to release the fears, because what's happening in our world is that we have so much fear and ego and things that are controlling us. So I had to free myself from that mindset in order to understand what, you know, what brought me to this point. So the Moonly Project is actually a point in time that I entered into that took me back, you know, like light speed into a distant past. And I had some reference points, but I knew what I was experiencing was older than what we were led to believe, and even what some of these things involving Atlantis or Mu in ancient history, as far as we know it. I was sent back in my mind to a time where, you know, I wanted to actually learn. I want to know the origins. I want to know what, I want to see some evidence of what this was, whether it be, you know, whatever. So I had to open up my mind to that and be receptive and just trust that. So then I started actually speaking the language that I wasn't quite sure of what it was. It sounded Native American, and no one that I knew of understood it. And I wrote it down. It was in symbol too. And I was only looking at it through a, you know, a three-dimensional viewpoint and not, you know, beyond that, until I saw the movie Contact with Jodie Foster. And I go, okay, what I see is I have to view this with light, sound, form, and color. So I had to view the language differently.
Uh-huh.
And then on, that's how the language progressed. And it had to do with, you know, a past life as well, a language that we're all familiar with, where we came from as a family. And the website that I have has to do with that. It has to do with a time of creation between two people and ones who lived a lifetime. And I experienced that when I was in China. And it had to do with two people that were very much in love, but they couldn't be with one another. But they would meet each lifetime. Each lifetime they would meet. And then they'd meet each other, fall in love, and not so much the happy ending to it, but there was a movie that was made about 3 or 4 years ago called Shenhua with Jackie Chan, and that movie was resonated with me to the point where I could never get the soundtrack out of my mind and what the storyline was about. And I encourage listeners to watch that movie called Shenhua, or it's called The Myth, with Jackie Chan. I think he made it about 4 years ago. And it had to do with that time period. Now, what happened to him, to some extent, in the movie, happened to me. It was almost like a mirror with the person that I was with when I started to experience more things. But the movie has to do with that. It also has to do with a relationship between the Chinese and the Native American cultures, and how we can find that lost horizon, you know, whether, you know, the inner earth, whatever that horizon is, and getting back to our origins and reconciling those feelings that we have. The soundtrack that I'm developing has to do with a lot of the tones used in a language. So each note of the soundtrack will resonate probably with your third eye or some emotional content of your body. So not only you'll be having the visual experience of the story, but you're going to feel the music. You're going to feel the music. It's not just going to go in your ears, and it's something that's completely different. So the soundtrack of the movie is as important as the storyline itself between the two lovers and how this adventure unfolds through the generations of time. And it's a romantic adventure, and it's something that I want to use everything that I've known in languages and how to present this story at a higher level than what Shenhua is. Shenhua, or the myth, is just gives you an idea, just a glimpse into what, you know, that is. That is something that just That's how it started. It just started with learning, you know, the language development and something that I was doing at that time almost 15 years ago. But I'm looking for ones to get involved in a movie and to bring a story to life, because it's something that's almost a gift that I would like to give to humanity. You know, it's something that is so wonderful that you all should experience it. And because we do have lovers, we do have ones that we travel through time with, whether it be, you know, our eternal lover, soulmate, if you want to call it that, But it's that being, that duality that we have, that we have to share our lives with, that we resonate with. Our family, where we came from, how we meet our family members through the synchronicities of the moment, especially now, how we're interconnected to each other. And that's really the value of the movie, is how we're going to interconnect, how we're going to interact with one another, including the person that we love very much. And that's how that movie should resonate with you. It's something that not only the light, the colors, the sound, the form, the story, it's actually the music. It's having you create your own music with the person that you love very much. And the title of the movie is As Long As Forever Is. And it's something that I thought would be an appropriate title that involved my girlfriend, Kylie Jianhua. And For As Long As Forever Is. And that's a whole story. So if you go to the website, that would probably give you a better idea of what the story
is. And what is the website?
I think, let's see here, I can... It's kind of a long website. I would have to type it out on Skype and give it to you.
Okay. Well, the movie is about two people who keep meeting lifetime after lifetime. They run into each other in mortality, but what? Is it life obligations? Is it slavery? Is it differences in race? Differences in economics that keeps them apart? What keeps them apart?
It's almost like love is what it is. It's like they're light beings in a sense, in love. Okay,
so love is keeping them apart.
Well, no, it's actually how they're discovering their essence together. They have to experience the emotions of love. What keeps them apart is just how they're going to be developing as far as their character, learning trust, courage, patience, just attributes that we need to work on to be more patient, to be more understanding with each other. And they learn that. Now, the story is based upon, actually, in some ways, my girlfriend, myself, and being kept apart and learning patience and learning how to deal with you know, the values of love, you know, the good and the bad, and things along that line. So they're very much creators and creations on a journey. And they're finding out that they were the legends of the Lost Horizon, of a time where we came from originally. And they're experiencing the human journey in order to become more complete in their love for one another. And so many times we just take each other for granted. And what do we learn from the experiences? What do we learn from our relationships? So even though they're apart, they're always married. Now, you have that sense of feeling with someone that, hey, I'm so deeply in love with you, I would never leave you. Well, you never do, because it's eternal, because you'll find each other in another lifetime. Or perhaps you were with someone that you resonate with. So, and maybe one time you were lovers. But we're family. It's about family. It's about bringing the human family together as one in a pure love. So there's a lot more to the movie, except besides two lovers, but it's about the human family coming together as one, as far as our place that we live in, the planet Earth, how we can become a better people to together, how we can get along together. And it's a journey that comes full circle. Experiencing many lifetimes is leading to us to this point in time, which is a critical moment in human history. So how are we going to connect together? How are we going to find our family? How are we going to get along? How are we going to love our mate better than we are now? And trust one another.
Define trust. I mean, are we just talking about two souls out of all the billions, trillions of souls in the universe that have to trust one another? Are we talking about trusting a race of people? Are we talking about excluding all other beings in the universe for one single one, and then when you can't have that one, you just live your life in despair your whole life and die in ignominy?
It's a representation of everything. It's everything that you're not going to have that despair, but you're going to have that. It's basically, in a sense, a representation of the universe. That one song. Now, the universe, well, that's Latin, isn't it? One song. You know, that's what it's all about, is creating that one song. You speak about the universe, well, do you really know what that means? Well, it means universe, one song.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way.
The harmonic accord is creating that, and the human experience deals with that. So we may have to have these tragedies come, but at the same time, we're stronger. We're stronger in character as a result of certain experiences.
Oh, sure, yeah, we're familiar with that. Yeah. You hunker down and take the lashes and bear under it and, you know, dig your fingers into the soil and keep moving forward, no matter what the rain or the mud or the responsibilities that are placed upon you or the whip that's laid to you. Of course, we all do that with our daily lives. Our whole lives are have to. We taste this every day as we struggle from paycheck to paycheck, or family vacation to family vacation. We're one fingernail above homelessness across this whole nation. We feel it. Of course we feel it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I can't agree more with that. So it kind of gives like a hopeful feeling when you see a movie like this, because it's not so much despair as it is. There's a lot of emotional content that we need, because going back to Emoto's study about water, and we're water, and our thoughts create how we feel. And if we can keep that perpetual love going, that would be something that would connect us even more to each other and solve the issues that we have. Because everybody's going all these different directions, and you know, they have these issues they need to solve, and they're awakening, they got to reconcile these emotions, and try to get us on track, try to get us to the point where if we can recognize the beginning, we can agree upon something. The only thing we agree upon, all of us right now, is for the most part, we wake up in the same default world, pretty much. We wake up, and it's basically what we got. So we can agree upon that. So what would be great if we can agree upon solving the issues that we have and, you know, having the guidance, seeking the guidance that we had from our ancestors help us along. Because they left us gifts. They left us treasures to be found. So it's not just finding the pyramids. It's finding out the treasures that are involved with those things that we find. Those are the treasures. That's something that's inside of us. We have to discover that in order for us to be happy, in order to change things and use that thought process to unite the people, unite humanity, and solve the issues that we have. And that's what's left behind. I mean, they left those cultures, and as an earth explorer like yourself, archaeo explorers, we have generations that have passed before us that have left us things to find. So we can use these for our benefit, for the benefit of humanity, or for the benefit of humanity and the earth. And that's what's the beauty of it, is that, you know, we left it for ourselves. It's like leaving a time capsule, you know, going back in the time. So, hey, well, the only problem is I don't remember exactly where I put my time capsule, because I've got amnesia. You know? So that's something that we need to find. We need to find that time capsule and resonate with that and pass it on to the next and our families. Our families that were back in the generation. We have identifying marks. Our DNA is our library. All of this we need to reconcile, and we can solve the issues, and we're happy. And that's the most important thing, is be happy. That's what my students tell me. Be happy, be happy, be happy. Generate that emotional content of positive things, positive emotions. Even though there are negative things, we can change it around.
I understand. I just, I guess what the world is trying to do, and what I see in the news, what I hear from people when I interview them or when I just meet them on the street, they're trying to balance things. Sure, they feel they really want to pursue love. They really want to be in love. They really want to be with the person that they love. But they cannot, because the responsibilities of what they're doing, whether they're in school or providing for their kids or providing for their ailing parents, or they have employees that are their responsibility, they're struggling, as I said, from paycheck to paycheck. They see their 401ks irresponsibly squandered by brokers and financial analysts and managers who don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. And they're just struggling with all these things, and then they're trying to weave love into all of that. So we have, you know, on the one hand, the reality of bricks and mortar, and on the other hand, a reality of love and passion. How do we balance these two? How do you balance them in your film? How do you make the music and the film give the people 90 minutes of escape from what is out in the daylight?
We have what is known as, there's a story of the two wolves. It's a Cherokee wisdom story. That's to do with the yin-yang, the balance. We have to think in terms of soft and hardness. There are some attributes that are negative to some extent, and then you get your positive in, your positive attributes. How do we balance the negative with the positive? You know, because there's so much issues going on, because we create these things. We create this problem. We create the world we live in. We create what's happening here.
Yeah, but once it's created, you know, it's not just an avatar that you can turn off. It keeps going. Yeah. It's alive.
Yeah, it is. And it's how we create these things. How did this monster create? How did Earth get away from what it was? That's the question. How are you gonna be able to pay these bills? How are you gonna be able to do all this stuff? And it has to do with being locked in a mindset that you have to pretty much try to have a positive, have courage, believe in yourself, have that vision board of I'm gonna change this. If you look at everyone's lives, or many people's lives, not everyone, but when you look at your life, think of the things that are causing that negative part, okay? Look at the balance. How can I improve in this area with my relationships? Did I buy a house that I completely couldn't afford to begin with? Why do I, and you want me to feel sorry for you because you decided to build a house, a beautiful house next to a volcano, and you have lava running through your living room?
Yeah.
You know, come on. You know, there are some decisions that humanity makes that cause, it's called cause and effect. You cut down the rainforest, guess what? I teach my students that. It's cause and effect. You know, it's cause and effect. It's cause and effect. I mean, you have to sit and analyze what you're doing. You know, there are many people that they make these decisions, you know, based upon, you know, the information they think, you know, that they want, rather than what, you know, it's something that would be for the good of everyone. So it's also that thinking that we got to get back to the community of thinking as far as one. That's what the Chinese do. You know, that's why they call it communism. It's more or less, you know, bureaucratic capitalism. But the essence of communism is community. It's how these kids get along and they're happy. It's a different experience. I've been in China for 4 years. I think I saw two guns, for one thing. You don't have guns there. So weapons are non-existent. I have another, maybe a knife, but for the most part, there's no guns. So So I feel safe there. You know, that's a culture that functions with no weapons as far as guns for
right.
the average citizen. We live in a culture that, let's look around, there's a lot of threats that cause injuries. So we have to eliminate that. We have to eliminate, you know, so we can have that peace and security and learn from the past, learn what the ancients are trying to tell. The inner earth, the ones that we want to discover, they're going to say, put down the guns. You know, think about it. You know, you're going to have peace and security based upon, you know, a culture that's going to have to say that enough's enough. We're going to have to work together. That's the mindset. You have to balance. It's out of balance. How do we get it back in balance? So we have to, you know, look at it, you know, have a self-talk. Say, hey, we have to get along. Go next door. Go meet all your neighbors. Be more expressive. Start using the yin more, soft. So those are attributes that we need to do, Brooks. We need to manifest that on a daily level, and that's what, you know, that's what I've learned from the Chinese. You know, they're very, you know, the ones that my students, my kids, they're very soft, and I've learned a lot from them. And we have to have that community thinking in order for everything to get better. You know, and the ones that don't want to cooperate, well, what are you going to do? That's what the governments are for. But I firmly believe it. You have to believe in yourself, and you have to believe in, you know, your
Well, yeah, but the Chinese people have a different perspective than we do. They don't, at least the ones that I know, don't think of things in terms of a single lifetime. Or if they do, it is an entire lifetime. With Americans, with the society that we're in, you know, if it doesn't happen this afternoon, it's not soon enough. I mean, come on, I find myself patting my foot and snapping my fingers in front of the microwave.
Yeah.
I don't even buy green bananas. So I understand there's a different mindset to it. The Chinese people are very patient. If I can't do it, then my children will do it. If my children won't do it, then maybe my grandchildren would do it. You know, it's inches by inches. I watched Tibetans who had finished a pilgrimage from their hometown to Lhasa that took them 2 years on their knees, prostrating themselves on the ground with wooden blocks under their hands because it would wear the skin off of their hands as they went like human inchworms from their hometown, kneeling and standing, kneeling and laying down and standing again, all the way to Lhasa. Now that is a lifetime of dedication, just to be able to get to the temple to put some yak butter in the candle and put your forehead against the feet of the Buddha. Americans don't have that kind of dedication. We would never take a task on like that. If we can't get it paid off 90 days, same as cash, we just charge it, overcharge it, and then file bankruptcy. That's our way. It is a different way, and it's killing us.
It is. It is. And we don't listen to our Native American brothers. They're here. They're a treasure. They're a treasure. Listen. They're here. What do we got? We got them on reservations. We got... It's just unbelievable. Check, you know, the history of what Europeans did to the Native Americans. You want to talk about a Holocaust? You know, let's talk about what's happening in the backyard. And that's something that... We have a treasure. We have the Native Americans. We have that consciousness. They're guardians of that. And that's what we should learn. Learn from them and learn from one another. And
yeah, but what is the lesson that they're trying to teach us? Are they so afraid of their government that they can't uncover a pyramid in their own backyard and share it with the world? Or are they being private? Are they just being reverent? What is the truth?
It's really it's getting them to talk and then just really open up. It's very difficult. It's very difficult because, you know, it could be something spiritual. It could be something that, because they also live in a certain amount of fear too within their government. There are some things that if they do, they could get in a lot of trouble with, you know, the Chinese national. I'm not quite sure exactly this point. I know they're very shy, and they're very not, you know, you've got to really get to know them in order for them to open up, and then they'll open up. But they also have this fear factor, too, because they're so conditioned to think in straight lines.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, Tiananmen Square, I mean,
I gave them an exam to see how I can teach them, and they're pretty much, they think in terms that they want to think outside of the lines, but they're too afraid. And it could be something that if they say something, it could be a reprisal. I really don't know exactly, you know, what it could be. It's like proselytizing with the Bible there. You don't do it. just the government, you know, has rules and laws against that.
Sure.
You have a Bible, you can talk about it, but, you know, you can't go door to door and proselytize because, you know, that's something you can't do. So they do control. They do control the mindsets of the people and influence them, and it stays with them all their lives. And you have to remember, it's one race of people there, you know, the Chinese. And it's easy to control that in America, where they call it Meghua, melting pot. So it's a lot more difficult for us as our, you know, the people here, because we come from all over the world with different ideas and different ways of doing things. In China, it's different. It's one people that think the same way. So that's the difference. So it'd be very difficult to do what they do here. But we do have the Native Americans. They've been here for a long time, too, and no one's listening. And that's something that is our treasure in our backyard that we should think about and talk with them, because they're our brothers and sisters.
Well, yes, and, you know, we have so many levels, so many feints within feints. While I was in China, so was Pelosi. I found the place very progressive. I found the whole place under construction. I found everybody working hard. Generally, I found everybody smiling. I didn't see any human rights violations whatsoever, and I was all over the place, even in the countryside. However, while Pelosi was there and trying to open up doors of trade or solve one problem or another between governments, our press was beating her up every hour for not making open statements against what? Against human rights violations in China. Are you crazy, people? That is not how you build diplomacy between countries.
You can't. You have to consider the losing face part. It's very, very serious. You know, and you got to remember their thinking process. You have to understand how they do it. And again, it's the yang, it's the imbalance of the yang part of our culture hammering the yin. You can't do that. You have to be balanced in diplomacy in order to, gain the guanxi. They have to understand too what's going on. If they're openly opening their doors, they're allowing influences in.
Well, they have to. And I know they're trying to shut down Yahoo, and they're trying to regulate Google. And I've heard of people have gone over there and, you know, sent emails to friends using their Yahoo, and then the next thing they know, boom, it's shut down, and they can't send any more emails from China. Of course, there's control going on. But
you can't find anything on, like, Tiananmen Square or Taiwan or Tibet. I mean, it's just the whole thing. They don't want their people to get upset. You got to remember, they will do exactly what the government tells them to do, because that's what they do, okay? That's the training. If they're taught one way, it's going to be hard to change it. But you have to meet in the middle somehow. There has to be a middle ground. You can't demand things. You can't do this or whatever. But then China or these other areas, you have to understand cause and effect.
Well, you also have to understand that it's really hard to keep 2.6 billion people in line. It takes a heck of a government to do that.
Yeah. And it's just a lot of people, and, you know, the opportunities. I mean, You've been over there. I haven't seen an oak tree over there. It's a country that's void of a lot of wood processing thing. Everything's concrete.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
they
yeah.
have resources to do a lot of things, too. That's another thing. And it's an entire society that's just growing at such a rapid rate that they need assistance. They need, you know, you have to, it's cause and effect. You do something and...
Well, let's keep that in perspective. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, China's at runaway growth. It really isn't. They really have a very strong policy that does now not allow families to grow in size. But the society, Kevin is exactly right. Everybody wants a car, and they want it right now. The Chinese economy is absolutely booming compared to the rest of the world. And those people are doing really well, and they want stuff. They've gone far too long without it. They're moving into mega cities. The way that they're building their cities now with support agriculture, designed mass transportation systems, putting their power plants way outside the city, nuclear power plants feeding power into the city so they don't have to burn coal anymore. There are a lot of things that they're doing right, but their society is growing really modern, really fast.
Exactly, yeah. They're very responsive. It's just, it's amazing that when I tell my university students, you know, teaching them our language, how we do things, how do you speak to an American? How you speak to a New Yorker is different than how you speak to someone from California or the Midwest, business-wise. So that's what I teach them, how... about the language, about how we speak, so they can know how to talk. And we kind of know how in a language, whether it be body or whether, how to talk to others, how to talk to, you know how to communicate that. And that's what we need to do, is communicate better on that level. And that's where the yin-yang, that's where the balance comes in.
Well, that's true. I mean... I understand the balance, but I also understand when time is running out. You can't run the same old paradigm.
Yeah, absolutely. There's the time factor is accelerating to a point where, okay, now what? How do we handle this?
Well, that's a good question. That's a question for another program.
That's part of learning, like, the gifts that we, you know, were given by our ancients, you know, whether it be the writings that we find in Egypt or wherever, or the old things, the artifacts that we find, and to use these and try to reconcile how these things can be used to help our society. Because they're there for a reason. They were put there in the time capsules, libraries, if you call them, and it has a language, and we're experiencing that. There's something inside each one of us that's resonating. Inside the lane, whether, you know, and some of us may want to go to the Xian Pyramid. That's great. Let's go. And if that'll help your consciousness along and your awakening, that's great. And that's what the whole topic is about, is about the languages. It's about the how we communicate with one another and what we can do in the future to solve the issues that we have, because there isn't a lot of time.
Well, that's true. You know, I think that some societies can look at it and say, well, you know, we have generations. We'll just wear the West down. Come on, they're just kids. They've only been around for 300 years. We've been around for 5,000 years. We can outlast them. We were here when they got here, and we will be here when they destroy themselves. But if you really believe that the ancient societies knew that the Earth was going to align itself with very strange powers, frequencies, particles, gravities in these parts of space, and it's going to have cataclysmic effects on the planet and on the human race itself, then maybe we don't have generations of time. Maybe generations of time are just about run out. So the old paradigms are not going to work.
Exactly. I agree. And it's just, and when I think about this, 10 years ago or 5 years ago, I could not be doing a radio show like this. 6 years ago, I would never consider going to China. So there are ones who are doing things in order to to try to bring to light some things to help others along as guides, the teachers. And that's what we are. We're guides, we're teachers, we're also students too. And that's our responsibility. I mean, your show has, you know, get a responsibility to your listeners and to listen what they want to talk about, what they want to feel, and what they, because it's about them. In my classes, when we speak about languages and that, it's about what do you want to learn? How do you want to feel? How do you want to communicate? What would be the best way of finding success in what we're doing in the classroom? Because it's about them. And our classroom is the planet Earth. And what's inside of it, duality, everything that's inside of it, the inner Earth, which is, you know, everyone contributes to the planet. And that's part of the classroom. The classroom, well, my classes, I teach them outside. We will go outside. And that's how the ancients taught. They weren't in classrooms inside, unless the weather is bad. But for the most part, our classroom is what we learn from nature, from the animals. It's from our ancient teachers, our ancestors. And we need to learn to the language of how they spoke and the emotional content of this language that is so ancient and so old that we need to discover that. And they're saying, yeah, come on, it's over here. Go down this hole. Go down the rabbit hole over there. Or this is where it's at. So they're guiding us. That's why they're awakening us. That's why people are having these dreams and speaking these languages that they don't know, because it's part of that awakening process in order to solve the issues that we have inside now, because it's accelerating and we need to grow.
Well, that's what we're all about here, growing, learning, trying to figure out, trying to understand, and when we do understand, gain wisdom. You know, wisdom is gained not through getting everything right. It's through getting things wrong now and then. It's through lessons learned. It's okay to get it wrong. Admit you're wrong, pick it up, and move on. Get your head straight, pick yourself up, and gain wisdom. You know, when it's said that God is wise, figure out how he got the wisdom. The same way you're getting it. Line by line, precept upon precept. Kevin, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the program. I look forward to communicating with you offline, and we will perhaps schedule this expedition to these places the West has never seen, and then we'll fix it.
We'll fix it, and we'll also go to the inner Earth too. We'll find it. We'll get there.
Well, that's the struggle. The focus is on the Arctic, and just feels like the right place to go.
Exactly, and I'm there.
All right.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I also want to thank the listeners for the questions and for listening. And perhaps we got off the subject for a little bit, but I'm really appreciative of this time. I really do. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And have a wonderful week. We'll be in touch.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good night. There you have it, Earth Explorers, March 21st, 2010. Keep in mind that the space station is overhead. If you haven't seen it, you should go to a website called heavensabove.com. That's heavens-above.com. Sign up. It's free. Put in your city, your state, your zip code, and it will tell you when the space station is going to fly over. If you haven't seen it, it's because you haven't looked up, because there's a whole city going by overhead, and it's so bright you can even see it in the daytime. That's right, you can see it in the daytime if it's not right next to the sun. Really, really spectacular. Don't forget, Remembering the Future goes on sale next week. If you take advantage of the special, you're going to have discounts on the printed version, on the recorded version, and you'll be my friend as well. And don't forget Twitter. It's so easy, so free, and you can keep up with everything. You don't have to wait for Sundays. We'll see you next week on X Squared Radio. It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio saying, peace, Earth Explorers.